Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, there are reports this morning of a new wave of Iranian strikes across central Israel as Tehran responds to Israel's continued bombardment of its military sites and other infrastructure. Alistair Bunkle, Sky News Middle East correspondent, joins me on the line now. So, Alistair, firstly, what can you tell us about those explosions we're hearing about here in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem this morning? What's been happening?
Well, there have been four waves of strikes, three overnight and then one this morning. The ones overnight, very limited, I think fewer than 10 ballistic missiles, which compared to previous nights was a very, very small number, and no reports of damage or injuries. And then it's of an unusual barrage, slightly bigger, about 20 missiles. But again, in the context of what Iran's been doing, still relatively small. And that came around breakfast time this morning, which doesn't tend to happen. No reports of injuries, but if any sensitive site has been hit, you don't tend to know so much about it. But I think there hasn't been a case of a civilian building being hit on this occasion, as we've seen in previous days.
So what does that tell us then about the extent that the Iranian airstrikes are getting through Israel's Iron Dome?
Well, I mean, firstly, to be technical, it's a different system the Israelis use called the Arrow system, which can deal with ballistic missiles, as opposed to the Iron Dome that is for more short-range missiles, the kind of thing that Hamas and Hezbollah were using. Like the Iron Dome, the Arrow system is not perfect. It's got a very, very high success rate. It's probably one of the best in the world at what it does. But if you've got 100 missiles fired at Israel, and that has been happening, and you've got even a 95% success rate, that's still five getting through. And if one impacts an apartment block, then you can get a very high casualty rate. So, that's the reality facing Israel. I wonder whether there is anything to read into the fact that actually the missile barrages overnight have been significantly smaller. Israel said yesterday that it had destroyed a third of Iran's ballistic missile launchers and is continuing to do more. Possibly the Iranians are finding it harder to fire back at Israel now for multiple reasons, but it could be something else. I guess we'll have to wait and see whether or not it's a similar kind of volume in the coming days.
And I'm sure, just like us here, you're trying to figure out why Donald Trump left the G7 meeting in such a rush. And your own network, Sky News, showing pictures of him now arriving back in Washington and speaking to reporters before he left the plane in the last couple of minutes. He said, "I haven't reached out to Iran for peace talks in any way, shape or form. If Iran wants to talk, they know how to reach me. They should have taken the deal that was on the table." So what, or if anything, is going on?
Well, first, on a practical level, I think he said that it is easier to deal with the situation in person in the White House Situation Room than it is when he's abroad and doing it over the phone. So, there's probably some logic in that. And as important as the G7 meeting is, what is going on in the Middle East right now does, I would suggest, require the immediate attention of the U.S. president. But as to why he's gone back, and he sort of hit back at Emmanuel Macron, because Emmanuel Macron said that he'd gone back to talk about ceasefire negotiations, to which then Donald Trump posted on Truth Social a pretty disparaging message of the French president, saying, "No, it's not that at all, it's something bigger." So it's left us all guessing, as so often is the case with Donald Trump, as to what lies behind all this. We can only speculate. Could the US be considering getting involved in this conflict? I think probably not at this stage. I think they would try and like to stay out of it if possible. Could the Israelis be considering an assassination strike on Iran's supreme leader? We believe the Israelis had sort of previously vetoed that. But I think Donald Trump's language, although it's consistently contradictory, I think what we've heard from him in recent hours is a desire to see Iran and its nuclear program, certainly Iran's nuclear program, completely wiped out. And that seems to be the headspace that the US president is in at the moment.
Yeah, I just see in the last few minutes the Israeli defense minister warning Ayatollah Ali Khamenei that he could face a similar fate to Iraq's Saddam Hussein. He said, remember what happened to the dictator in the neighboring country of Iran who took this path against Israel. So clearly that threat is not off the agenda.
Well, I think if you want to eliminate Iran's nuclear capability, I mean, there's sort of three ways of doing it. One is to agree a nuclear deal where Iran agrees to give up all of its nuclear capabilities, which has failed, and the Iranians have steadfastly said that they're not prepared to do that. The other way is destroying it militarily, which I don't think the Israelis can necessarily do by themselves, to be honest. You know, there were questions whether the Americans could completely do that either, but it would probably need some munitions to burrow deep into the underground chambers, particularly around Fordow, that the Americans do have. And then a third, you know, option, perhaps related to the military option, is to remove the regime, because it is a regime that has steadfastly pursued nuclear capability. And so perhaps they would consider that if you really wanted to rid Iran of its nuclear capabilities, then you need to both destroy the military and scientific aspect and also the regime that pursues it.
Now, the local media in Iran is reporting that a cyber attack has hit its state-owned bank. Just on the attacks overnight, Israel saying, Alistair, that several military targets in western Iran were hit. What do we know about those targets or about what happened overnight? And we do understand the proviso that it's difficult to verify this information, but what are you hearing?
Well, I'm hearing a major military base in northwestern Iran was attacked overnight and into this morning. The Israelis have continued to attack ballistic missile launch sites and weapons storages. But I do think it's interesting how this campaign war has expanded very rapidly. Yesterday, the state television station took a direct hit, extraordinary pictures, when one of their female news presenters was on air at the time, sort of delivering a defiant message from the regime. And then suddenly the whole studio shook and the roof started collapsing in. So, you know, that's a sort of, people will argue it's a civilian target. The Israelis will say, well, actually, it's part of the regime. Now, cyber hackers, we think, linked to the Israeli state have targeted the SEPA bank, which itself has links to the Revolutionary Guard. That stops people from being able to get out money. It's all kind of designed to sow a fear within the wider Iranian population.
And do we know if people are managing to get out of Iran? Because all the flights are shut down, aren't they, at this point?
So what we're seeing is queues and queues of thousands of cars trying to leave Tehran, kind of north towards the Caspian Sea. But people do seem to be, whether or not it's they're taking the warnings from Donald Trump and from the Israelis to leave, or whether or not they've just decided themselves they don't want to stick around in the capital city that now seems to be at the mercy of Israeli jets. It's hard to know. It's probably a combination of all those things. But they are starting to leave. I'm hearing that the Grand Bazaar is closed today. Most of the shops, you know, shops and stalls within the Grand Bazaar is closed. I mean, that's the sort of thing that only happened during COVID, really. So I think what we are starting to see is a real impact on Iranian society, as well as, of course, the impact on the Iranian military and the Iranian regime. And if it is the intention to try and topple the regime, then these are some of the behaviours that would contribute to that.
Alistair, thank you so much for joining us once again. Alistair Bunkle there, Sky News Middle East correspondent. Coming up next, how technology like car tracking devices are being weaponised by domestic abusers.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.